Welcome to the IT Experience Podcast. This is a podcast for those who are interested in IT experience management in large enterprises. If you use ServiceNow or other enterprise service management system to provide services to employees, then this is for you. Brought to you by Happy Signals. More smiles, less time wasted.
Hello and welcome to the podcast. Today as our guest, we have Mark Smalley. And many of you know him already from different IT contexts, but welcome to the show. And would you like to introduce yourself very briefly?
Well, yeah, thanks a lot. Thanks. Yeah, very, very briefly, I help IT people understand service.
Well, that is the...
That's just what I do. That's what I try to do.
That is an excellent and indeed a very brief introduction. So as we're speaking about service, recently you wrote a blog article about experience dominant logic. And today's short podcast will hone in on what that actually is. So my first question to you is regarding the path from goods dominant to experience dominant logic. And let's start with the good dominant. So what is goods dominant logic and what does IT services look like if they are done from a goods dominant logic type of way?
I think the term goods dominant logic emerged when people started thinking about service dominant logic. And just sort of explain what goods dominant logic is and relate that to service. It's based on how people worked in the still work in the manufacturing world, where things are pretty predictable and where things can be commanded and controlled. You've got the management command and control paradigm. You assume that you can predict things, and you also assume that low variability is good. You want to reduce the variability. That's what you want with products. Now, if you apply that to service, it doesn't really work because service is so unpredictable. It's the nature of service that things just happen unpredictably, and it's futile to pin it down. So if you try and apply goods dominant logic to service, you'll find yourself trying to control things that can't be controlled, and you'll create the illusion of control instead of actual control, which I think you can't have with service.
So interesting. And so if services then are different and the goods dominant logic can't be applied, there is something called service dominant logic as well. How is that different from the goods dominant logic?
Well, it recognized the fundamentally different nature of service, that whereas with a product or goods, we often interchange the terms products and goods, but goods dominant logic, you build goods you can store on a shelf. Service you can't store on a shelf, it's intangible. And it's just really, service dominant logic is about how service organizations either consciously or unconsciously work with service. It's much more appropriate. If we adopt ITIL terminology, it embraces the concept of co-creation of value. It's not that I, as a provider, deliver value to you. You can't do that with service. You can do that with goods. I can deliver you a good. Ownership changes place, and now it's yours and it's not mine anymore, so you've got the value. But with service, we co-create the value. You can't, if I'm a hairdresser, you can't come into the hairdressing shop and say, give me a haircut, and I'll just pop off to the shops to do some shopping while you're cutting my hair. You participate in the process. So it takes two to tango. It's about that intricate dance between two parties, so recognizing the co-creational nature of service. And that service, and that's a possible link to experience, and that value from service is unique and phenomenological. And phenomenological is a wonderful word. Everybody should use that in conversation. It confuses people. What it means is, it's about a value from service is how you experience it. It's subjective.
So if that is subjective, and it sounds like the service dominant logic reconsiders the recipient of the service, or that it takes two to tango. So how is then experience dominant logic this blog article. Does that differ from a service dominant logic?
Well, it doesn't really differ from it because it builds on one of the 11 or 12 foundational premises in service dominant logic. That's really the belief system behind service dominant logic. And in fact, I unconsciously mentioned it as the answer to your previous question. Value from service is unique and phenomenological. I picked up that foundational premise and I expanded that in that little blog article on LinkedIn called Experience Dominant Logic. So I tried to break that down. And really, and I came up with a number of statements, but you could really boil it down to four things. Experience is important because it affects people's emotional well-being. If you have a bad experience, you have a bad day, you feel bad. So that's that. So it means that service providers should take it seriously. That's the consequence of experience is important. Experience is unpredictable. It's influenced by multiple technical, but also psychological things. How you frame a service is important as the actual service, so how you perceive it. If we're going more into the happy signals area of actually measuring a service and service aspects, surveys are imperfect. You can only measure what people say and not what they actually feel, because A, they find it difficult to find words to express what they feel. B, they might not want to tell you for political or social, you're such a nice guy, I'm not going to tell you the bad news. So you never get the real, you don't know, you probably never get the real truth from people answering surveys. So, and if that's the case, it means that you have to be constantly be on your toes and evaluating and reassessing the kind of questions you're asking, because you're working with imperfection. That's really the bottom line. You have to realize that if you think you can command and control it, you're going to end up with a problem.
That's a really good point, and we do often highlight that when our customers work with their end users, that it is a dialogue. What they create this trust and they create a possibility to have that dialogue in an open way to be able to then understand each other better. And it's not perfect, but it takes you step by step closer to a level of perfection, even if it's not the perfection.
Yeah, it's a bit of a, the word is abused quite a lot, but it's a journey. It's about the process. It's not about the end destination.
Sounds really good. And this is, you've done a lot of other writing and thinking as well. So if people of the podcast who don't know you yet would like to get more familiar with your work, what's the best way of finding you online?
I publish lots of stuff on LinkedIn as articles there. And I've collected lots of stuff on my website, smalley.it. If you look on the writing page, I've summarized lots of stuff I've done recently for the ITIL community, for IT for IT, part of the Open Group, other bodies of knowledge. So I think they're two good sources to take a look at. Or get in touch with me if you have a particular question. Happy to connect on LinkedIn and follow up the conversation there.
Well, that sounds perfect. Thank you for joining us on the podcast today. And I have no doubt that we will have you on as a guest again sometime in the future. Thank you very much.
My pleasure. Thanks a lot.
And as we say at the end of each podcast, to all the listeners, stay safe and stay happy.
If you like this episode, giving the podcast a review helps others find this content as well. You can also visit our YouTube channel or our learning center at happysignals.com for some more video content. Join hundreds of like-minded IT professionals who have passed the free IT XM certification course on itxm.academy.